Well, good morning.
I better get that out of my throat. All right, I'm good now. It is good seeing everybody this morning. Welcome to 2023. Did y'all have a good first week of 2023? Get some stuff done and kind of get some focus going. How many of you have already broken your New Year's resolutions? Anybody broken a New Year's? Yeah, there we go. I like that. We get going on them and then they kind of fade as they go, but that's okay. Hey, what we want to talk about today is kind of a new phrase. I want to be part of the language of Waller Baptist Church this year. I want to introduce you to words that you've heard before, and it's probably words we've said, and it's not like something that's going to blow you away. But as I was praying about what I feel God is telling our church right now, this phrase came up this week over and over and over again. And the phrase is next steps, next steps. And I want us to think about next steps. Let me ask you this. How many of you here in 2023 would like to get to the end of 2023 and go, I am closer to God than I was at the beginning of 2023? Anybody here would like to do that? Yeah. How many of y'all would like to see our church help people get closer to God in 2023? Would you like that? Yeah. And look around. How many of y'all would like to see some of the people in this room be closer to God in 2023? Watch where people look, because that'll tell you the ones that like you and don't like you. This idea of moving forward, this idea of saying, I'm here right now and I want to get here, helping people get from here to here. This thought of that, the tool that we can use to accomplish that in 2023 is this thought of what is the next step. What is the next step? This language, next step, like I said, I kind of caught it this week as I was thinking about what happened at Christmas Eve and, you know, the people that we had here and just what is their next step? And then I started thinking, as I thought about these two words, I love the words. And I noticed them more and more this week. I was at the grocery store, was at Arlen's, and they only had like one checker. And there was a lady in front of me with this big, huge basket. And I'm just kind of going, well, I guess I'm here for a little while, you know. And I kind of pull up behind her in that lane. And then all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I saw this other checker come out and goes to the next lane and said, next in line, please. And all of a sudden, I had this joy in my heart, right? This joy that, oh, wait a minute. There is a next going on. There is a forward motion. There is something now that I can look forward to. When I hear that word next, I go, all right, yeah, I'm ready, because I'm not really happy with where I'm at right now, but I can be happy with next. I watch Survivor all the time, and one of my favorite shows, and they end every show saying, next week on Survivor. And it's just that thought of there is a progression going on. This wasn't the last episode. There's something next happening that's going to build on what's already happened, and it's going to move us farther along. So when I think next steps, there's already just a little bit of excitement that goes on. Here's what next step means to a Christian. Next step means that you are on a journey from where you are to where God wants you to be. Every person in this room, whether you are 8 years old or 80 years old, whether you've been in church your entire life, or if this was your first day in church, you are on a journey from where you are to where God wants you to be. And sometimes that can be overwhelming. You know, sometimes you go, I'm never going to be everything God wants me to be. You know, sometimes we do that. You know, when I was talking about resolutions earlier, you know, so sometimes we do that. We get that picture of where we want to be, and we just say, well, I'm going to do all that, all of it right now, and I'm all in. I'm just going to do it all. And what happens is we get overwhelmed. But here's the beauty of the way that God's laid out our life, is that it's not getting there immediately. It's a journey that we are all on. It's a journey from where we're at to where we want to be. And how do you take a journey? One step at a time. So instead of looking and going, how in the world am I ever going to be all that as a Christian? What if we just became a church where this is a question that's always on our mind? What is the next step? What's the next step? What gets me one step closer to that? How do I share that with other people? What if when people come to our church and they come down here and they join our church and they say, what do we do next? And we kind of go, well, when you're ready, here's the next step. When you're ready, this is how you move one step closer to where God wants you to be. What about if you're in the middle of something where you go, I just don't know how to get through it, and you come to a small group and you go, how am I going to get my family through this? How am I going to get through it? And as a church, you know, as a church body, as believers, we look at each other and we go, look, I don't know how you're going to do it, but let me help you take the next step. You suddenly, we kind of see that God can help us move people closer. Psalm 16:11 says that God, you will make known to me the path of my life. That God, there is a path, and part of being a believer in you is to realize that you're going to start revealing that. In fact, most of us know Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God says, here, I'm going to give you some light, and it's not going to, you might not be able to see the whole thing, but you're going to be able to see the next step. I want us to be a next step church, because this is what I know. Next step choices will determine the distance between where you are and where God wants you to be. Those next step choices. If you're making a next step choice in the opposite direction, right? That means you got a long way to go. But as you determine to say, I'm going to take the next step that direction, then suddenly that distance shortens and shortens. I want to show you this in Scripture. Ephesians is where we're going to be today. So I want you to turn in your Bible, or it's going to be up on the screen here, Ephesians chapter 4. I want to start with verse 1, and then we're going to jump down to verse 11 through 13, and we're going to end with verse 16. But in verse number 1 of chapter 4, Paul says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Now, there's a couple of things I want you to see in this. As Paul is writing this to the Ephesians, and he's writing this to us today, is, you know, the first thing he says there is, yeah, go ahead and take that one down for a minute. We're not to the 4:11 yet, but in 4:1, it says this. He said, the first thing is then. It's one of those words in there like therefore. It says kind of what's been happening before. And if you look at the book of Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, Paul in those first three chapters just kind of lays out the purpose that God has in our life, the love that God has for the people, the purpose that God has for the church. And so he kind of culminates all that. And he said, therefore, because God has a plan, he says this, he says, I want you to realize that you have a calling on your life. He says, I urge you to live a life worthy of a calling. Do you realize that you have a calling on your life? Do you realize that every person in here, whether you've been in church your entire life or you're brand new in the faith, that God has called you to be part of His family? That He has laid out things that He's got for you to do that only you can do because He's gifted you in that way? Because He's given you the circumstances in your life that's prepared you for these works that He has ahead of you? And He's going, I've got a calling on your life. We've got to understand that. Every person in here is important. Not a single person in here today is an accident that you're here. It's not a, does God have something for me? It's that God absolutely has a calling on your life to impact people that He brings into your life. Sometimes that's family. Sometimes that's friends. Sometimes that's an entire church. Sometimes that's a Sunday school group. Sometimes that's a men's group. Sometimes that's a ladies' Bible study group. Sometimes it's the neighbor next door. Sometimes it's your grandkid. I don't know what it is, but here's what I know, that God, if you're still breathing, everybody here still breathing? Has a calling on your life. And He says, if you don't get that, that there's a place that He's got you headed towards, and it's a specific personal calling on your life, then you're not going to see the desire and the excitement to take that next step. So we start with that. We start with that thought. And now let's jump down to those verses that you had up there, Jerry. Let's go to Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 11. And this is where he talks about how he's going to help you take those next steps. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says this. It says, so Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Let's just stop right there. You know, first he kind of says, all the apostles and the prophets. So he says, God gave this word right here. God said, hey, I'm really going to be good to you. I'm going to give you all this stuff of all these prophets and apostles and people that are saying, thus says the Lord. But then we're going to bring it even closer to you. I'm going to send evangelists to you. Like we had, on Christmas Eve, someone who can come up here and share their testimony and just really get your heart excited about saying, I want to be in the kingdom of God. But he said, even closer, he said, I'm going to give you a pastor. I'm going to give you a pastor, someone to teach the Word of God, to encourage you. I'm going to give you teachers, people on the radio, people in your Sunday school classes, in your small groups, in all those areas. He said, I'm going to give you all this. Now, a lot of times, I don't know if you were like this when I was growing up in Union City, Tennessee. If you ask me, who does the work in the church, right? Who is God's workman? When y'all looked at First Baptist of Union City, where I grew up, what I thought? I thought, man, that pastor. God called that pastor to do His work. And basically, we were there to encourage and support the pastor to do God's work. But watch this scripture. It says this. It says, so Christ Himself gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, verse 12, to equip the people for the works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. We've got it backwards. We've got it backwards. You're not here to encourage me to do God's work. Well, you are, because I'm part of the body. Hey, some of y'all are teaching me and leading me and helping me. But my job is to equip you. To equip you to do the work of God. Because listen, if we are a church about Blake doing what Blake can do to reach people for God, this is how big our reach at Waller Baptist Church is going to be. As hard as you try to encourage me and to equip me to reach out and to share the love of God with this community, that's how big. But if we flip that, and I go, hey, I'm going to do everything I can to encourage you to take that next step to be equipped to do what only you can do, to reach only the people that you can reach. Like I said, I don't care if you're 10 or 100. I can't reach your group of people that God's put into your life, but you can. And if we start seeing these scriptures and these sermons and these small groups as ways that our church is encouraging each other to take the next step in our faith, then we're going to be a weak church. But as we see that we are being equipped and filled up, then we may be built up. Verse 13, until we reach unity in the faith. Oh, isn't that beautiful? So we're all headed towards where God wants us to go. And if we're all thinking, let's take the next step towards God, we're all going the same way. Isn't that beautiful? But if I'm thinking, oh man, God's got nothing for me. And then this idea that God has a call on my life or a purpose, I'm just going to stay right here. Well, then some of us take that step. Some of us just sit down. Some of us start going the opposite direction. It's when we all understand that God has a calling on us, and together we're taking those next steps, wherever they are, and we start moving in unity. Watch what he says here. He says this. He says, until we reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, underline that part, the whole measure. The whole measure. That is a Greek word. That Greek word there is pleroma. Pleroma. I'm horrible at Greek words, but trust me, it's something similar to that. Here's what it means. It's a visual word in the Greek language of an empty boat being at the dock. And in that empty boat, pleroma means the full measure is that they are going to fully load that boat with everything it needs for the journey. So can you picture that? He said, you need to be ready and mature and become mature and start attaining the whole measure piece by piece by piece of what you need for your journey. It's that next step, right? It's that, all right, I've gotten a little bit in here now. Now, what's the next thing you want to put in me, God? What's the next thing you want to put in me, God? What's the next thing I can do? What's the next thing? Until there becomes a point where God says, you made it, right? You're at full measure. I think that's probably right near death. But at full measure of what I've got for you. But it's not all at once. And this is what we do so many times. We leave and try to do things on half measure, right? We get one little thing and we go, okay, I'm ready. That's all I need. I'm heading out. And God says, no. Just take a next step. Don't try to do it all. Don't try to say, okay, just what's the next step? Get a little bit more. What happens when we get this next step mentality? Well, I think what happens is we start becoming mature in our faith. In fact, that's what it says in verse 16. It says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves. once again, you know, he threw this boat term out there, right? And you know, now he's kind of mixing his metaphors. Blown here and there by the wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become every respect, the mature body of him who is the head. So the first thing that I see here is when we start getting that next step thinking, you know, the first thing that's going to happen is that we're going to start becoming more mature. More mature. Would you like to be more mature in your faith? Would you like to be spiritually strong? You know, I think that oftentimes we think that the enemy of the Christian is sin. You know, the biggest thing that we face is sin. And in a way, I get that. I get that sin is our biggest thing, but sin is defeated, right? Jesus handled sin at the cross. So I think before we're a Christian, you know, sin is our biggest enemy because it is sending us away from God. It is separating us from God. It's separating us from God for an eternity. And so Jesus took care of that on the cross. And so now, on this side of the cross, I don't think it's sin that is our biggest enemy because sin no longer has the ability to separate us from God eternally. Jesus took care of that. Well, what sin now has the ability to do is to head us in the wrong direction, is to kind of, you know, keep us from growing in our faith. Here's our biggest enemy as a Christian. I think it's immaturity. Because in those areas of immaturity in our life is where this powerless sin suddenly takes hold of us. And so if we would stop thinking, oh, how do I stop the sin? And we start thinking, how do I become more mature? How can I become more mature so this powerless thing that Jesus already defeated starts having less and less and less impact on my life? And so how do you become mature? Well, you take some next steps in your faith. If you have an issue with sin always being on you, you've got to say, listen, I need to move past that. I need to become more mature in my faith. And as you become more mature in your faith, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find you had the potential for this maturity and this strength as a Christian the entire time. God just needed to put some stuff in there. Here's the beauty. You might be thinking, man, I'm never going to be a strong Christian. I'm never going to be able to have that bold faith. But the truth is that potential's in you. You just need to start maturing and learning how to walk in the ways that God wants you to walk. It's that next step mentality. Instead of going, man, I'm never going to be that, you just kind of go, no, I've got that in me. I got a calling on me. And how I'm going to get there is I'm going to take the next step. You know, my daughter, Samantha, if anybody is looking for a volleyball coach, y'all have seen her. 6'3". She has been through college. She would be an excellent volleyball. If you know anybody, I want to get her back to Texas. So I'm just going ahead. That's the only reason. No, I'm joking. It's not the only reason I'm saying this, although I would like her back in Texas. But completely different on a different vibe. Here's what I want to tell you. That if you want a volleyball coach, help me out, Rebecca. How old is she? 25, soon to be 26. My 25-year-old daughter would be an excellent volleyball coach. But if you went back about 13 years to when she was 12 years old, you wouldn't want her as your volleyball coach, right? Now, she's the same girl when she was 12 as she is now when she's 26. Here you would want her, here, no, that'd be a bad idea. Now, what happened in between? Well, in seventh and eighth grade, she got on a volleyball team. And listen, they were horrible, but she got a passion for the game. And suddenly at age 13, she went, I kind of like this game. We moved on up into her high school careers, and she got on a volleyball team with an unbelievable coach. And they told Samantha, they said, look, he said, we're going to let you on this team, but you're not going to play one single game the entire year. But what we will do is we'll let you practice with us. And the coach said, I will teach you how to play volleyball. And Sam said, sign me up, because she had a love for the game. And then suddenly she started to get in the knowledge of the game. And that coach was right. She didn't play a single game until the very last game of the season. And they threw her in for about two plays, and she was the most excited she could be. But listen, by the end of her high school career, she was team captain. Because she not only had a love for the game, but she also started learning the game. But there was always one thing missing. Coaches would ask me all the time, how do you make that girl mad? She doesn't have enough aggression. She says, you know, she's not confident enough in her ability to go out there and to be aggressive. And they were just using her defensively more than anything else. And she went to college, and somewhere about that second year, that child got her confidence. And she ended the season with 1,000, I mean, her career with 1,000 kills and I don't know how many blocks. And, you know, just, and she was a chosen player of the year for her entire conference. And then coming out of school, she had a high school that was looking for a high school coach. They said, come on in, you can run the entire program. She was going to make a really good salary at this public school. And Sam called me and she said, Dad, I could do that, but I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. And she said, I know I'll learn things on the job, but she said, I just really feel like I should instead be an assistant coach under a really strong coach. And I've got that opportunity, but I'm not going to make much money. But for if I could just be under her for 2 years and learn how to run a system. And now she's coming up on that second year, and I think she's got a passion for the game. She's got the knowledge of a game. She's got aggression and confidence in herself. And she knows how to run a program, and she loves coaching. Now, Sam had that potential in her the entire time. But it was a step-by-step process that brought her to where that potential was realized. I want to tell you, that's your Christian life right there. You might look at yourself and go, how could I ever be used by God in a mighty way? And here's what I want you to know today. It is a step-by-step-by-step process of maturing. But within you right now is all the potential to be what God called you to be. So that's the first thing I want you to see. That when we start getting this idea of, hey, I'm just going to take the next step. I'm going to take the next step, that you're going to see yourself becoming more mature, and God's going to start showing you things that He could do. And number two, taking the next step develops and brings you into the body of Christ. Well, watch what it says here in verse number 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. You know, as you become more mature, our body becomes more mature. And as you start taking that next step, you're going to suddenly have opportunities here to live out what you were called to do. I mean, I was joking with Roy this morning. I love Roy. And did y'all feel kind of encouraged when he got up here and welcomed everybody? I mean, it's obviously he is gifted at being able to express love to people. I love that. But, you know, the joke I had with him is for the last year, he's been coming up to Chris May asking if he could be in the worship team. And Roy can't sing, and he's not any good. But that's like Roy's joke every week. He's just saying, I'll play the cowbell. Let me in the worship team. But Roy was doing what Roy does, is sharing that love. And listen, this morning, I was sitting there, and I've had this issue with my foot for about 6 months, and sometimes it just really flares up. I'm actually going to the doctor tomorrow to look at it again, where I'm just in, I'm not in pain, I'm in discomfort. And you just kind of sit there and go, okay, I just got to get through this discomfort. And I really wasn't worshiping very much. And then all of a sudden, Melinda and Marissa started singing that Sing a Little Louder song. And just kind of, Melinda, I just looked at your face, and that joy was just there. And it wasn't a song. It was you singing that suddenly just brought me into that point where I said, okay, forget the foot. I just want to worship. I just want to worship. It's that beauty of when you start taking your next steps, that suddenly God starts strengthening our body of this church. And the singers are doing the singing, and the welcomers are doing the welcome, and the teachers are doing the teaching, and the encouragers are doing the encouraging, and the Bible study people are doing the Bible studying, and we're all just going, wow, everywhere I turn, right? Here's someone else doing what God has called them to. But I want y'all to hear this. If we've got a church of people that say, I just want to stay where I'm at. I don't want to take any chances. I don't want to see where God's leading me. Then suddenly there are dead spots all over our church that God has people, but they're just not taking the next step to get to it. You know, let me go to that third one, which is really the same thing, that when we take a step, we find our purpose in life. When we're willing to take a next step and a next step and a next step, watch what he says here. He says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head of this Christ. Verse 16, from him the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself in love as each part does its work. He said, listen, as you take that next step and as you start getting in here and going, hey, Chris, maybe I could play the cowbell. Or maybe, you know, you go, oh, or maybe I should try children's ministry and teaching kids. Or maybe I should come and pray or at least become part of a small group. As you take each of those steps, then suddenly it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer what your purpose is and what that calling is. And what that part is that God has you here for. But if you're not willing to take the next step, you'll never find it. We all want purpose, right? We want to say, God, I want to feel like, you know, they did a survey to see how many people in the church felt like they knew what their purpose in the church was. Now, I'm not saying our church, although, you know, maybe, but the number they came up with was 80% of the people in church don't know what their purpose is. 80% of the people in the church don't, you know, if you just said, why does God have you in this body of believers? 80% of us would say, you know, I really don't know. Now, I want you to think for a second. If the church is the body of Christ, and if you just took my body, and if 80% of my body didn't know what its purpose was, I would be in a pretty hard time, right? My hand doesn't know what it's supposed to be doing. My foot don't know what it's, you know, my head doesn't know. It would be a horrible way for me to live if 80% of my body had no clue of why it was part of my body. And that's the way we are as a church when we're not... We don't have that vision of next step, next step, next step. Learning and finding out what our purpose is. But suddenly, when we do, we're kind of going, oh, I see it now. You know, most of us, we want to say, show me now, God, what my purpose is. But God said, no, you're that boat. I'm going to put a little bit in and a little bit in, a little bit in. And as you take each of those steps, it's going to become clearer and clearer and clearer. Listen, you're going to find out that a lot of times your purpose isn't a destination. It's the journey. You know, it's as you walk, you suddenly go, oh man, okay, I can see it a little bit clearer now. And you go, yeah, I think the whole thing was me kind of walking through it to see what that would be like. So I ask you this, can we become a next step church? Can we start seeing and asking ourselves that question? What is my next step? Can we start looking at each other and encouraging each other and saying, hey, what's your next step? And when someone comes and join our church, can we be ready to help them see what their next step is? Can we be a church of next steps. Let me give you a challenge to end the sermon with and a challenge for this week. Can I get you this week simply to do this? To get a piece of paper and write down, my next step is. And pray over that this week. My next step is. Let me give you some examples of what might go in there. My next step is I want to begin a relationship with God. Right? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'll tell you right now, if you want to grow as a Christian, your next step is, today, I want to take the next step and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And maybe you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. And you kind of go, man, I've just been putting that off. I don't want to do that. That doesn't sound like something I want to do. But you kind of go, you know what? I want the best for me. I want to find my purpose. I want to end this year knowing God better than I started it. So my next step is I'm going to get baptized. Maybe you've been saved. Maybe you've been baptized. And maybe you just need to make a commitment to say, I'm going to attend church every week. I don't know what else I'm going to do. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pray. I don't know if I'm going to be able to read the Bible. But my next step is I'm going to say, I'm going to just be in church every week. And I'm just going to see what God does with that. You know, maybe you're already there on that. Maybe your next step would be, I want to work on having 5 minutes in the morning of spending time with God. Maybe you're spending 5 minutes. Maybe you want to say 10 minutes or 15 minutes. But you should say, my next step, yeah, I'm not going to worry about what next year looks like, but this year, my next step is just going to be, I'm going to start trying to have a consistent 5 minutes with God. Maybe your next step is, I'm going to join a small group. We're going to be working on that at our church to have more and more small groups. In fact, this Wednesday night, Sanford Lee is going to start a men's Bible study, men's ministry, and he's going to get anybody that wants to come at 6:30. We're going to meet in the gym and just kind of talk about what it would be like to have an active men's ministry here at the church, small groups of Bible study or a men's prayer breakfast or things like that. So if you're interested, maybe your next step, maybe you write down, my next step is I'm going to be here Wednesday, 6:30 in the gym, and I'm going to be a part of starting that men's ministry at Waller Baptist Church. Maybe your next step is that you need to step into a place of service. Maybe your next step is to say, hey, I want to volunteer somewhere. Maybe your next step is just to say, I want to try something new. What do you need, Blake? My step is whatever you need right now. I don't know what it is for you, but here's what I want to promise you, that if you're willing to take those next steps, you're going to find that God's going to show you what the next step is, and the next step, and the next step. But if you don't, then you're just going to be kind of sitting where you're at going, why haven't I grown any closer to God? Why is life so hard when it comes to my spirituality? Oh, another thing, yeah, tonight we've got that young adults small group. Maybe you know a young adult, or maybe you are a young adult, and just say, hey, my next step is I'm going to show up at the Wooten's house tonight. It's all in what you will do with what God has given you. You've got the potential. Are you willing to take a next step? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for today. God, just I ask that we be a church of next steps. God, that we just start thinking that. How do we become stronger and more mature? How do we help other people? How do we go out into this town and show people how they can take another step? God, thank you so much that you have a calling on us. Thank you so much that you love us. God, thank you so much you sent your son so that we could do this. And Father, we just praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen. We enter this time of decision and reflection. If God said something to you today, I'm going to be down front. We'd love to help you take your next step. We have some of our leaders here. Love to pray with you or just talk with you. As we open this time of invitation.